One of them.
Good to see you all. Welcome. And what a great morning it is to be together. So this morning, we're going to be talking about being a new creation in Christ. We even just sang a song about it. I am a new creation. What a great song, because it's true. If we're in Christ, we are new creations. Before we do that, I want to do a quick recap. So if you can cast your minds way back to October or November, if you've been with us, we've been on a journey as a church, and we've been thinking about the story of God. And so Rich has taken us right from the beginning of the Bible, Book of Genesis, and we've been hearing the stories that kind of show us what God is doing in our lives, but starting right from the Book of Genesis. So we started with creation. God made the world, and it was very good. He was very happy with how he made it. So that's kind of chapter 1-2 in Genesis. And then we moved on and we had the story of Adam and Eve. I don't know if anyone remembers that. Adam and Eve were there, they were with God, and then there was the fruit on the tree and the talking snake, and they took the fruit, and then sin came into the world and everything got spoiled. And then a few chapters later on, we had the story of the flood. So Noah and the ark and the flood of the whole entire world. And God did that. Why? Because he was upset with how sinful the world got, how wicked man's heart was, that it was only the people of the world were only thinking about evil all the time. And so God flooded the entire world. But Noah was in the ark and he escaped the judgment of God. And then what happened next after, anyone remember what happened after Noah came out of the ark? Emmanuel, what happened?
The flood and then it came, Noah sent two birds out. The first one did not bring any leaves or leaves, but the second one brought. So Noah knew that it was time for them to get out. God showed that soon anyway that he will never flood earth again.
Thank you. So if you didn't hear that, there were some birds that got sent out of the ark, and then that's when Noah knew it was the right time to come out of the ark. And then God put a rainbow in the sky as a sign of a covenant, of a deal that he made with himself and the whole of humanity, and the whole of creation, in fact, that he would never again destroy the earth by a flood. He would never again bring judgment on the earth by a flood. He would stand by his creation, as Richard said a few weeks ago, he would stand by his creation. Okay, so that's the recap. So now, logically, we're obviously going to jump forwards a few thousand years to maybe AD, maybe 56, something like that. So it's a few years after Jesus has gone back to the Father. So he's lived his life on earth, he's died, he's resurrected, he's gone back to the Father. And then we have the Apostle Paul, that famous guy. So he writes lots of letters, and he's writing a letter to the Corinthians. So we're going to take up the story there, because when we had the story of the flood, mankind was still sinful. So if you haven't noticed, the world is a lovely place, but there's a lot of evil in the world, and there's a lot of evil in our hearts. And that's still the same now, but God decided to do something about it, so we take up the story. So we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians. So that's the church in Corinth that Paul's writing to. I'm going to read quite a long section from the Bible. Stay with me, because it's all relevant. It's quite difficult to understand. But the good thing is, even if the rest of the sermon is rubbish, you'll have heard some good truth from the Word of God. So just stay with me. Okay, we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians, starting chapter 4, verse 13, and then we're going to read all the way through to chapter 6, verse 2. It will be worth it. Stay with me. If you've got a Bible, there's some Bibles over there if you need one. 2 Corinthians is around 1161, something like that. My Bible might be slightly different to yours. Page 1161. Okay. You guys all up for that? Okay. Let's go. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. So here we go. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you as well to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Okay, stay with me. Chapter 5. Paul starts to talk about the new body that we will get when we are raised with Christ at the end of time. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, so tent, body, okay, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, this body, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly body, our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Okay, verse 6. Therefore we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in this body, whether good or bad. Okay, verse 11, Paul now starts to talk about being reconciled to God and what that means and what that looks like. Okay. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right minds, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 16. So from now on we regard no one with a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Key verse, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, In the time of my favour I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. We made it. Well done, everyone. Thank you for that. Okay, we can all go home now. You're joking. Okay. So, looking at this passage, we've come to the great kind of fulfillment of God's rescue plan of redemption. So, remember Noah sailing around on the top of the earth in his ark with his dodgy woodwork, and then coming out to a brand new creation. He was rescued by God, and so all of humanity was saved in that moment. But now we have an even bigger redemption than Noah and his ark. Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection brings us another covenant spilled out in his blood. We have the bread and the wine, here they are, representing the body, that's the bread, and the blood of Christ, the wine. So his death was our punishment, our only way out of the judgment, our only means of escape. Is anything starting to click now with the few weeks that we've had before? Is anybody making some connections? Maybe. Okay. So key verse, chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Okay. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Okay, so not if anyone has a facelift or moves to a new job. What else do people do to have a new start?
Move cities.
Move cities, yeah, move countries.
Yeah, new wife.
Oh,
yeah.
Bold. Okay, right. What else do people do? What else do people do to have a new start? Change their appearance, dye their hair, change the way they dress. What else?
Go to a different school or go to a university, you know, do different training.
Retrain, get a new skill.
Travel.
Disappear.
What's that?
Disappear,
yeah. There's lots of things people do to get a new kind of start, a new identity, but actually the only way to do that is in Christ. Did anyone watch a few years back a series called Breaking Bad? This is when I was still watching TV. No. So anyway, Cherry, okay. So anyway, there's this very dodgy couple of people who become drug dealers, and they get into all sorts of trouble and cause all sorts of havoc, and then it all gets very violent and messy and terrible. But one of them probably dies, I can't remember. And then the other one needs a new identity. So he does anything he can to get, he needs, I don't know, something like £3,000. It's a lot of money, I can't remember how much it was, to pay this guy, who he has connections with, to give him a new identity in Canada, because he's living in the States. So he does all sorts of crazy things to get this money, and then he goes off and has a new identity in a different country, and nobody knows where he is, but he has a brand new start. But we don't have to do that to get a brand new start. We can just come to Christ, and he will make us into a new creation. So if we are in Christ, we're a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. Okay. What do I mean by being in Christ? Or actually, what does the Bible mean by being in Christ? Does it mean people who come to church every now and again, or every week? Or people who got christened when they were a baby? Is that what is in Christ? No? You guys are being very quiet. Okay, so to come to Christ means being in Christ. Giving your life to Christ, realising the need that actually I have messed up. I do need somebody to give me a brand new start. I can't do it myself. I need a saviour. Repent of my sins, or repent of our sins, and accept Jesus as the Lord of our life and live for him. That's what it means to be in Christ. To come to Christ, repent of our sins, accept him as Lord of our life and live for him. And that's it. That's, you know, not that hard. Don't have to do a pilgrimage, or don't have to be circumcised if you're a man. That's quite good, isn't it? Good news. You know, we don't have to do anything crazy, because Jesus has done all the crazy stuff for us by taking our punishment on the cross. Okay. How does this work? So I want us to get this. I'm going to do something not to patronise us, but I want to show us something. But first, we will read a different passage. So Romans, so Paul's writing again from the church in Rome. Romans chapter 6, so flip back quite a few pages. In my Bible, it's on page 1132, but it'll be around there somewhere. Okay. So from verse 3 to 4.
Okay. Sorry, what chapter?
Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 4. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Okay. Can I have an unsuspecting volunteer, please? Akshaya, up you come. Thank you. Okay. I haven't lost my mind, but I just need to show us. Can you hold this?
Yes, I can.
What could possibly go wrong?
I can drop it.
Face in. Thank you. Okay. So here we have somebody who needs to get baptised. Okay, so baptism is a picture of what happens to us when we become a Christian, when we accept Christ as our Saviour. It's nothing actually magical about baptism itself, but it is a picture that shows us what actually happens when we come to Christ. So here's this person, could be old Katie. Old Katie needs to get baptised. She's come to Jesus and she wants to get baptised. Okay, great. Can I get baptised, please?
Yes.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so when Katie goes down into the water, she is dying. The old self has been crucified with Christ on the cross. Does that make sense? Yeah?
Yeah.
Then she's totally submerged. She's not just floating around on the top. We're holding her down just to make sure.
She's definitely dying.
She's definitely dead. She's buried with Christ, okay? Old Katie is dead. Everyone with me?
Yeah.
All right. And then somehow something happens between, you'd think that would be the end of the story, but actually no, because Jesus came back from the dead, we also rise with him. So as we come up from baptism, we have our new life. So it's not the same Katie that came out that went into the water, it's a different Katie, okay? Different person. She's all wet, so firstly. But she's different. Things are different now, okay? It's not the same. She's still that same person. She's still got the same faults and weaknesses as she did before. But now she's forgiven and she's made new with Christ. Is everyone with me?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Just put it somewhere. We're not going to kick it. That's great. Thank you. Okay. So that's how it works. As we come to Christ, we die with him. Our old self dies with him. And then we're a new creation. Brand new creation. That's quite incredible. Okay. It's a bit of a mystery. It's quite hard to actually think, how does that actually work? But that, you know, that's kind of the theology behind it. We're brand new people when we come out of baptism. When we accept Christ as our Saviour, we become brand new. Okay. What does this mean? Now we have some diagrams. Okay. So thank you, Chris. So we get a bit of head knowledge about this. What does this mean in practice? Or what does this mean? So on the left we have our old self, our old me. So the thing that is controlling my old self or our old selves is sin. Sin is the main driving force of my life. Okay, and what does sin bring?
It brings death
and destruction. Okay. But if we're in Christ, the passage says we become the righteousness of Christ. Flip back to 2 Corinthians. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that's verse 21, chapter 5, verse 21, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So now the driving force in my life, the thing that is controlling my life, is the righteousness of Christ. And that brings life, and that brings peace. Okay. Everyone still with me?
Yeah.
I was doing very well. Right, next slide. Okay. So my old self, I'm the king. I'm the one who makes all the decisions. I live for myself. I do what I want. I please myself. This is perhaps slightly simplistic, obviously. Obviously, there are many people that do many good things that are not Christians. But in general, before we come to Christ, we are the ones that are in charge of our lives. I'm the king. But if we come to Christ, Christ is king. Christ has to be king. He's the one that died for me. He's the one that gave me a brand new life. And so I have to live for him. Okay? So now, Christ is in charge of my life. Whatever that might look like on a day-to-day basis, but I have to live for him. Okay. What's next? Okay. So what's the driving force? My old life. Look after number one. Okay. I'm going to look after myself. Maybe my family, maybe my friends. But in Christ, it's Christ's love that compels us. Is everyone still with me?
Yeah.
So there should be a change that happens in our lives. It should be a brand new heart that is put inside us. Okay, what else? Okay, so with our old selves, if we're not in Christ, we might talk to God, but we don't actually have a relationship with God where we can be in close harmony with him. We're separated from him because of our sin, because of the way we've been living our life. We're separated from God. And if we're separated from God, we're condemned. We're due to face judgment. Just as the whole earth in the flood was due for judgment, just as there will be a judgment again at the end of time. But if we're in Christ, we can be friends with God, we can be reconciled with him, and we can be under grace, meaning we're saved from judgment, okay? And we're forgiven. Brand new start, and everything is good, okay? And I think there's one more. Okay, so as we become more Christ-like, as we remain in Christ, things should change. So from what's going on in our hearts and what's going on kind of in our minds, if we're not in Christ, we're often preoccupied with how things look on the outside. What does everybody think of me? You know, am I good enough? Maybe, maybe not, probably not. You know, all the temporary stuff. You know, we've got all these people taking selfies all the time. We do that, you know. But it's outward stuff, it's temporary stuff. But if we're in Christ, what we should really be concerned about is what's going on in my heart. Who am I really on the inside when nobody's looking? Because God sees it. He wants to transform us, make us new. And we have a different point of view. We don't have a worldly point of view anymore, where it's selfish, we're just fitting in with what's going on around us. But we have a point of view which is from heaven. Okay? And we're Christ's ambassadors. We've got a message to share, reconciliation of the world. God doesn't want to count people's sins against them. He wants them to be reconciled to him with Christ. Okay. Thank you, Chris. You can leave that slide up there. Okay, what does this look like in practice? So I got baptised when I was 10, actually, and I've been perfect ever since. Oh, no. I don't think so. I can't even manage to be perfect for half an hour, never mind a whole day. So. I don't know about you guys. But it's a work in progress, okay? It's a work in progress. Sometimes old Katie tries to rise up and say, oh, why don't you behave like this? Why don't you think about yourself all the time? You know? And I have to tell her, no, you're meant to be dead. Okay? Sometimes there's temptations that pull us back to what we were doing before or the way we were living before. And I have to choose the new way. Okay? It's a work in progress. But there should be an evident change in my life. So it's not that we become Christians and we just stay the same. Because if we do, then something is wrong. So if I'm still the same today as I was when I was 10 years old, firstly, that's a bit weird. But secondly, that's not what being a Christian is all about. So if we've been a Christian for years and our friends and family haven't noticed anything, they haven't noticed any difference about us, something is not happening. We're not allowing God to transform us. Okay? And a lot of the transformation is internal, but it does create an outwards change that is noticeable in our lives. Hopefully, I'm a little bit more gentle, I'm a little bit more humble, and a bit more truthful than I was when I was 10. But also that I was than 5 years ago, and so on, and so on. Okay, so we should become more and more like Christ. Okay, so being a new creation, we're not all perfect straight away, sadly. It's a work in progress. There should be change in our lives, but it's not complete yet. So part of the deal of being a new creation is we get a brand new body, which is quite good, because I'm 37 and I don't have as much energy as I did when I was 18, funnily enough, or when I was 25. I've got a few grey hairs. You know, outwardly I'm wasting away, but inwardly I'm being renewed day by day. Okay, we read that. Outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed. Okay, so we are already new creation, but we're kind of living in the in-between and the not yet. So one day we will be with God and we'll have a brand new body. Paul describes it as a tent, this body, like a temporary thing, a tent. You know, it's a bit flimsy, lets all the rain in sometimes, but in heaven, it'll be a heavenly dwelling built, not with human hands. So it's going to be something much more solid when we get to heaven. So our brand new body will be incredible. Don't know exactly how it will look like. Do you think we'll be able to fly? Maybe we'll be able to run really fast and fly, I don't know. Who knows? But it's going to be eternal. It's going to be eternal. And much better than this one. Okay. And the same for creation. One day God will come back and make everything new. If we flick quickly to the back of the book, so Revelation chapter 22. So this is kind of talking about what's to come. Sorry, chapter 21. And it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne room saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" So one day God will make everything new. We'll have a brand new earth, a brand new heaven. I don't even know how that works or what that means. But there'll be a renewal. Everything will be made new somehow, including us if we're in Christ. And that is something that's really exciting to look forward to. And it's such a hope that we have of being together with Christ forever. Okay, so even though we don't have our resurrection bodies yet, and I mean, I like this body, but I would be quite disappointed if this was my resurrection body. But it's okay. One day we'll be with Christ and we'll have the completion of everything that he's promised us with our new life in him that is forever, our new body, new earth, new heaven. It's going to be incredible. Okay, last question. So we've looked at, how does this work? What does this mean? Okay. What does this look like, being a new creation? Now, what do we have to do? Okay, what do we have to do? Last question. Just stay with me. If you're already a Christian, what do we have to do? All we have to do is live for Christ. Just live for Christ. Okay, live in a way that pleases him. Put him first. Let him be at the very center of who we are. Let him shape our decision making. Let him lead us. Choose to do the right thing. Choose to live a life that pleases him. We live for Christ. That's all. We have the Holy Spirit to help us. The deposit that's already there. Let him lead us. But if you don't already know Jesus as your Saviour, this is available to you as well. This new creation life is also available to you as well. And if you decide that you want to have this new creation life,
that you want to be friends with God, you want to be safe from judgment, and you want to have a brand new start. This is available for you, okay? But what do you have to do? To just come to Jesus, repent of your sins, accept him as your Lord, and live for Christ. So it's quite simple. If you're in Christ already, just carry on, live for Christ. If you're not in Christ, be in Christ, come to him. Ask him to save you, ask him to give you a brand new start and clean away all your sins. So just wanted to encourage you, if you wanted to take the opportunity or if you want to ask some questions, please feel free to talk to any of us after the service. It's myself, there's Richard, Louise, Emma, Cherry, or anybody else that you have a connection with. Please feel free. Okay, I'm going to close there and pass back to Richard. That's all.